Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Sabbath day is the seventh day of the week. God rested after creation. We worship on Sunday, the first day of the week. Why is that, by chance? We celebrate the resurrection. We celebrate the resurrection each and every Sunday. So we gather on this, the first day of the week, celebrating the resurrection. As we are told, though, to remember. Martin Luther, in the good old small catechism that many of you are familiar with, wrote about the third commandment. We are to fear and love God so that we do not neglect His word and the preaching of it, but regard it as holy and gladly hear and learn it. So you're here today to gladly hear and learn it, aren't you? When you look, though, at the Old Testament scriptures, they're not referred to as commandments, but as words. As words. The prologue, God says, I am the Lord your God. I am the Lord your God. Goes on to explain in the book of Exodus, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And these were the words now you heard echoed in the writing of the Psalms. I am the Lord your God is the reestablishing of God's covenant with His people once again. Reestablishing the covenant promise with Moses and the people as they traveled through the wilderness. I am your God. A group of teenagers was gathered together for a Bible study, only ways in which teenagers can do. And so then they went through a discussion with the teacher as far as the role of God and the power of God, and concluded by talking about how God is omnipotent. And asking the question, is there anything that God can't do? And there was silence over the group. But then one of the teenagers spoke up, in all the wisdom of a teenager, saying, well, He can't please everybody. Which is true. He cannot. Not in the ways in which we think. But He does bring great pleasure to us when we hear the words, I am your God. I am yours. And throughout the covenant history, God continues to act. And God always acts first before any expectations are set upon the people. When you read the creation story, we see how God creates the world and establishes the garden, and then the residents are placed in the garden and given guidelines on how to live. God makes His covenant with Abraham, with all the patriarchs to follow, but that covenant comes first before any expectations or responsibilities are placed before them. And Moses, as they deliver the people out of Egypt and they travel through the wilderness, God is once again renewing this covenant promise. I have brought you out of slavery. I have freed you. You are now my people. And once delivered, they are free. They are free to serve. The words of God are for the people who have been delivered by God's grace. The words of God are an expression of God's grace. It's a charter of freedom for our life. The words of God that are shared are not a list of obligations or endless rules or regulations. These commandments, as we refer to them, do not mark a return of slavery to some sort of legalism. But they are to give us freedom. Now I think back to my days of growing up in Santa Clara, California. And I remember when I was first given the opportunity to leave our yard and wander up and down the block and to meet with friends and neighbors. Now there were limitations placed upon me, but I had a sense of great freedom. I could leave the yard. Then, later I was given the opportunity to leave the block and cross the street and go to the park. Oh, what freedom I experienced then. To go and explore the park and to be with the friends and play all of our games. Yes, there were limitations. But yet I recognized the freedoms that were given to me. And then there came the bicycle. The opportunity to get upon a bicycle and take off with friends and to explore block after block of our community and our neighborhood, to go around to all of the parks and beyond. Certainly there were things we couldn't do, but that bicycle led to great freedom. I won't even talk about what happened when we got access to the car. But the words of God are brief. They're not meant to define everything or qualify everything. There's not even a list of rewards or punishments that go with them. It's not a law code for specific conditions of life. But the words are broad. And they provide a point of reference for us to work out our way of life. Of who we are and what we are to do. A unique thing now about these words that are shared with Moses is that they're in singular form. God is not addressing the people, but each and every individual. These are words not for the community at large, but for every member within the community. And these words are given to us in a constantly changing world. The circumstances around us are always changing. But the society and the world in which we live, these give us a point of reference. Now we know that some of the words that God shares are placed in a negative form, what you shall not do. But that's not because He's establishing some type of restrictive code of behavior, but rather allowing for greater freedom. For what is not forbidden is permitted. And you can work it out, given your freedoms. I came across an article online this week that was printed in the Wall Street Journal. It was entitled, "The Overprotected American Child." And the author, who is a mother, was talking about the first time she had to leave her daughter home alone. It happened when her daughter was 9 years old. She was sick and home from school. And the father was out of town for work, and the mother had to go to the drugstore to get some medicine. So it was about 5 minutes to get to the drugstore, 5 minutes back, some time to get the medicine. So she went over with her daughter, all the phone protocols and all the phone numbers, instructed not to open the doors. The mother went, 20 minutes later she returned, and certainly everything was all right. But then she began to think how this experience of leaving her daughter alone, of giving her this independence, so to speak, had been postponed due to potential catastrophes, all the things that she could imagine. And that was the problem. And so the author goes on talking about how the pressure of parental oversight in children leads to less independence, less freedom in the way that they think about themselves and how they look at life. And how the overzealous parent can do harm to children. Psychologists and educators had done a study talking about the surge in children and young adults dealing with anxiety disorders. They studied college students and their anxieties that they experienced. In 2008, it was reported that 10% of college students had some anxiety disorders. In 2017, last year, that was up to 22%. And I think much of this has to do with as the children grows up, there is too much parental oversight. And the need to grant autonomy to children. For there to be parental encouragement of children's opinions and choices, to allow their independent perspective on issues, to solicit their input on decisions and solutions. The lack of autonomy, the lack of independence in the lives of children stymied their development. And so we look at the words of God. They're not to give us a wide-ranging oversight of our lives, but rather give us direction so that it allows for us to live freely and independently. Remember the Sabbath. You notice it's in a positive form. We recognize that there are things that are to be excluded from our life, we shall not do. But here the emphasis is on those things that are essential in our lives. Those things that add to the distinctive character of our lives, that there is a time that we are to set apart, a day that is to be holy. God recognizes how important it is for us to do so. For 6 days, God's people work. And by working, God says we are joining in God's creative activity. We are working hand in hand with God to better the world and the things in which we do, and to better the lives of those around us. But then on that seventh day, contemplate the goodness of God's creation and the goodness of God's creative work and the words that He has shared with us to guide us and direct us and to give us perspective, but to live with freedom and the promise of grace, of relationship. So we gather on the days such as this day to celebrate all that has been done and all that is yet to be done. Amen.